Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state announced 21 Alaska resident COVID-19 cases yesterday, including one apiece in Fairbanks, North Pole, and the Nome area. Alaska's total resident case count is now 904. The Department of Health and Social Services also announced 4 new non-resident cases, all in South Central, bringing that total to 183. DHSS reported no additional deaths or hospitalizations yesterday. Recovered cases total 525, and over 108,000 tests have been conducted, with the positive rate for the previous 3 days at 1.27%. A Fairbanks man died in a weekend boating accident in the Big Lake area. An Alaska State Trooper dispatch says 30-year-old Arthur Aniloak was canoeing on Diamond Lake when he capsized and drowned. They say Aniloak was not wearing a life jacket. A Matsu dive team aided troopers in recovering Aniloak's body from the lake Sunday. Troopers say foul play is not suspected, but Aniloak's body has been sent to the state medical examiner for autopsy. Next of kin has been notified. A resolution supporting Black Lives Matter and marginalized groups is in front of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly tonight. Last Thursday, the Assembly heard public comment on the resolution, which addresses racism and police brutality, but delayed debate when it ran out of time. KUAC's Robin reports.
The Assembly received many emailed comments before the meeting began, but more came in person and by telephone. Alaska House Representative Mike Prox says he thinks the nationwide conversation about police brutality is important, and he's learning a lot, but he did not like the resolution.
We are working on it, at least at the state house level. And it's just really whether it is systemic, whether systemic racism is a problem and what can be done about it from the government point of view. And I think all police departments, whether there's a problem or not, we always got to focus on continuous improvement. But this resolution doesn't add to getting towards a solution.
School Board President Wendy Dominique explained how racism in our institutions is left over from laws that put it there.
Here is the danger of denying that systematic racism exists. When you negate that system racism endures, this disclaimer robs us of our chance to scrutinize our policies and practices.
The resolution's title is In Support of the Black Lives Matter Movement and Civil Rights for All People, notably those individuals from historically marginalized groups. Use of the name of the nationwide activist group, Black Lives Matter, was troublesome for some, even though clauses in the resolution clarified that none matter more than others, and that is the point. John Hanchett told the Assembly that the name of the group, Black Lives Matter, is confusing to him and has moved beyond the simple phrase it uses.
When you use that group's slogan or name, that it has other connotations as to the organization that may or may not really represent that cause.
Others like Alan Mitchell thought the language was too broad to address police brutality.
Changes have to be made, but this is what I would call reckless language.
The resolution is an expression of support and does not have the weight of law. The Fairbanks City Council passed a similar measure recently, as reported by Councilmember Aaron Gibson.
That resolution was passed unanimously by the City Council, and that resolution was more of a commitment by the City of Fairbanks to work on making sure that we train our officers, as well as recommitting to trying to hire a more diverse police workforce.
The Assembly will resume its meeting from last week with public hearings on voting and budget ordinances. But public hearing on the Black Lives Matter measure is closed. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
City of Fairbanks Mayor Jim Matherly wants people to wear masks while out in public to slow the spread of COVID-19. Speaking at a city council meeting last night, Matherly said some people have become lax about precautions as the pandemic has worn on and state health mandates have lifted.
Some folks have gotten, complacent with it, and I get that. Others are wearing them everywhere, and I applaud that. I also ask in my same statement for businesses to do the same. A lot of businesses have kind of, familiarity, and you feel comfortable and you let less and less people mask up. I'm asking for businesses to do the same. What we can't afford is another March, April.
Matherly was referring to the pandemic-forced economic shutdown that resulted in many people losing their jobs. The mayor emphasized that he is not mandating mask wearing, while also noting that the surrounding North Star borough does not have the power to do so. The Fairbanks City Council has approved a three-year, nearly $780,000 collective bargaining agreement with Public Works employee unions. The deal provides pay increases of between 5 and 9%, raises staff said are needed to retain experienced employees. 13-year City Public Works dispatcher Tracy Morphis expressed concern about co-workers leaving if the deal wasn't approved.
That's going to significantly impact the quality of service that Public Works can provide to the community.
The new contract comes as the city faces a deficit this year and major financial uncertainty going out. Council member Jerry Cleworth said the last time the city provided a front-loaded pay increase was when he was mayor and cited an analysis of the current agreement provided by the city attorney.
He stated that funding a contract with a full increase up front has a compounding effect, and it does. And that was something I missed when I was mayor. It is something that we have not done in any union contract until the one that we have in front of us tonight.
Cleworth and fellow council member David Pruse voted against the contract, which passed 4-2. Mayor Matherly spoke in support of the agreement while noting that the city will need new revenue to meet its labor obligations. Additional test data has alleviated safety concerns about two public drinking water wells near where firefighting foam residue from Eielson Air Force Base was dumped. Earlier testing indicated the presence of ethylene glycol in samples from the wells, one near Harding Lake and the other in Salcha, both in the vicinity of where the residue was dumped at two gravel pits. There was also concern that PFAS might have been in the dumped residue after some was found in other containers of the liquid. But Sarah Moore with the State Department of Environmental Conservation says a second round of well sample tests came back clean.
And that includes the results for what's called the semi-volatile organic compounds, and none of those exceeded state drinking water standards. We've also received the results for fluorinated compounds, and all of those were non-detect. And because we had some concerns surrounding data quality for the sample results associated with ethylene glycol, the state resampled those, and all of those were also non-detect.
Moore says that means it's safe to drink water from the two wells. Meanwhile, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the state are moving toward testing wells on area private properties.
We have finished surveying private property within a quarter mile of the two dumping sites to identify what private properties have wells. And they have started calling the owners of those private properties to request permission to come on their property and sample those private wells.
Moore says investigation of the case continues and that although the residue solution was dumped at gravel pits owned by local area contractor Rolling Stone, it's not clear who improperly disposed of the liquid.
There were three contractors doing the fire suppression system testing, and the waste was transported off base by those contractors and taken to Rolling Stone, where it was to properties owned by Rolling Stone, where it was discharged.
Moore says as the generator of the waste, the Air Force is the primary responsible party, and lists the Army Corps of Engineers, the three base contractors, plus gravel pit owner Rolling Stone as potential responsible parties. She provided no timeline for completion of the investigation. I'm Dan Bross.